But when you have younger people with kids shrieking in the background, die on you, that changes you.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios.
In this episode, we have Dr. Shavkat Ruziev, owner of Lancaster Wellness. Dr. R, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for making the trip. You know, it's great to finally meet you. I know we've been trying to get connected for, I think, almost a year. I think it was back in January.
Yeah, a few months at least.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And shout out to Donovan.
Yes.
Who works at your practice.
Absolutely. He's a practice manager.
Yeah. Great guy. Shout out to Donovan for getting us in touch. And, Doc, I want to start off with a quote I actually just read this morning. And I think it kind of ties into wellness, health, mental health, and all that. So here's this quote I just read this morning. If you have a garden and a library, you have everything you need. True wealth lies in the simplicity, a garden to nourish your body and a library to feed your soul. Talk about deep.
Oh, yeah. Very deep. Absolutely. Those are things well said and very meaningful. You know, I think we are kind of tied into a lot of consumerism, stress. A lot of us nowadays have two jobs.
Yeah.
Just like kind of little hamsters in a wheel running around. And then health kind of is on a background with that, you know. So it's important to address health, because it doesn't matter how much wealth you have. If you're not healthy, you can't enjoy it.
Right. And
it's that simple.
Exactly. It is that simple, really, right?
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. And we get so caught up with technology and phones when really all you need is a couple good books.
That's it.
And healthy eating, right? Yeah. And that's the key to long life, right?
1,000% correct.
Yeah. So now I wanted to start off with your journey. Where were you born and raised? And tell us about your childhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a great childhood. I was born in a Central Asian country. It's called Uzbekistan. It's about 34 million population. It's a small country, but it's a beautiful country nevertheless. I grew up in a loving family of artisans, teachers of art, ceramics specifically. Yeah. My parents both in the same field. So no doctors in the family. As
really?
Far as I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But my parents tell me, since I was like, I could talk, I've always pretended to be a doctor fixing things, you know.
Goes way back to the beginning.
yeah. So I don't know wanting to do anything else, just, you know, from the beginning. I've always wanted to be a doctor, and I'm lucky enough to be in this great profession and in a great country.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, were you an only child? You have siblings?
I have two sisters. Both of them are nurses.
Okay.
They kind of follow.
What? Yeah, oh, they're both nurses? Yeah. Wow. But your parents had nothing to do with the healthcare
industry.
Nothing
to do, yeah. I started that light, fire.
You're the oldest then?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I'm the oldest. I moved to the States when I was a teenager. Started my, medical journey as undergrad, and then, graduate school in LSU, Louisiana State University.
Okay.
I kind of grew up in New Orleans area, love that area.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful, very unique, quintessential American city. Such a fun place.
Yeah. So when you moved over, you moved straight down south. You were down south.
Yeah. I was living in New York for a little bit, but then I just moved there.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a family member there.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yep,
yeah, gotcha. Now, and then, just curious, did your sisters, are they in the States, or?
One of them is, back home with my parents. They have green cards, but they just choose to stay there.
Stay there, yeah.
Yeah, they're happy there, so.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So what was the draw, or what, was it for college, or to further extend or expand your knowledge in the healthcare industry? Like, what was the move to the States?
Oh, absolutely. America is a shining hill. My parents wanted to give me the best education, best of everything, and it was here. So they did everything they could to get me here, make sure I go to school and get the best of education. And I'm adventurous myself. I get a little bored in one place. I got to be doing multiple things at the same time.
I get that feeling. Yeah. I get that feeling, Dr. R. Yeah. So life in college, what was it like for you?
Great. I mean, my undergrad was great. I did analytical chemistry. So that was, part of prerequisites for medical school. it's a hard subject to kind of go through and do well. I liked it, so I went through with it. I wouldn't do it again.
No.
It was a lot of sleepless nights just preparing for school and making sure your GPA stays, you know, about.
It's got to stay up. What does it have to stay?
About 3.6.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How many years, too, for...
So you go 4 years of undergrad and 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency. And then so that's like just to get to become a doctor, it's 14 years total, right?
Wow.
So, and then you get, if you want to do further specialization, say you want to do endocrinology or you want to do cardiology, that's 3 more years. So best years of your life are literally
in school. Studying.
Yeah. Can't do anything
sleepless
else.
Sleepless nights, coffee.
Pretty much.
Energy drinks if you're into that kind of stuff. Yep. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not, but I had to.
Did you? Yeah, yeah. No, I don't either. I don't. You know, I know some people that are hooked on the Monster and those energy drinks, and I'm like, they're not good for your heart.
Slippery slope there.
Yeah. But I guess it's kind of like, you know, cigarette smoking, drinking, anything like that, you kind of get addicted to it.
That's it. Yeah. Addiction is it's a whole new subject. I would have to come back and talk about
it. Yeah. Well, we could do a part two then. Yeah, we could do part two back. Yeah. So then after college, where was your first job?
My first job after college, are we talking undergrad? Are we talking about...
good question.
Oh, okay. So let's say after college, undergrad, my first job was in nursing home. I was a CNA for 2 years. I work in specifically in a dementia unit. It's a locked unit, so people are safe there. As a CNA is a probably it's a certified nursing assistant or medical assistant here in Pennsylvania. So you go to school for that about 3 months or so to kind of get certified, and you basically work as a licensed medical assistant to nurses. So your job will be feeding dementia people, patients with dementia, and you know, helping your nurses basically with all their care. That it's called activities of daily living: bathing them, cleaning them, making sure they get their pills, and you know, walking with them, taking them to therapy, etc. Mm-hmm. I loved it. My English was still limited at that time. It was a great place to be because, you know, they're sweet people. You get to know them. They kind of become part of your family. It was a great experience. I loved it.
Yeah.
That just confirmed that I wanted to be a doctor.
Okay. Like,
if you can clean, bathe, you know, feed, you know, 20, 80-plus-year-old demented residents.
Yeah.
And you like it, then you are in for anything healthcare. You can be a nurse, you can be a doctor, whatever.
Right. It's not the glamorous stuff, what you're doing.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, and I think doctors, nurses, first responders, obviously veterans in our military, you know, it's especially since COVID, you learn to appreciate those people more because it's the unsung heroes a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother was in a home. She recently passed. And again, I went through the same thing, dementia and such. And, you know, we could go see her. Now during COVID, we couldn't. And that definitely didn't, I don't think it helped her life, you know, because you're talking through an iPad or whatnot. But it's those nurses that are in there bathing, feeding, you know, that really are the unsung heroes of the country and the world, you know?
Absolutely. The lower the wages go, harder these people are working. Like, I started my career as a CNA. You know, I don't even remember. It was like $680 or something like that at that time. It was very, very low.
Wow.
But I loved it. And there were people who've been doing it 30, 40 years. And, you know, these are unsung heroes because it's not easy to work with dementia people, dementia patients. When things are going well, they're great, they're sweet. When they're confused, scared, they may hit you, they may bite you. They act out. Just like it's basically like reverse aging, like they're becoming children.
Yeah. So isn't that something, you know?
It is, yeah.
So going from, you know, the retirement home, being a CNA, what was the next step? What was that like?
When you're in medical school, you don't really have too much time for anything else. At least I didn't. I mean, if you are, I would be surprised, to be honest with you. So I went through my 4 years of medical school. Didn't really struggle. I did really good in medical school. I think my undergrad degree prepared me well for that. But time-wise, there's a huge amount of volume of material you have to absorb in be held accountable to be able to learn that and regurgitate it out and during exams. So I didn't do a whole lot of work. I actually had to quit my CNA job. And so I went through 4 years of medical school, did really good. Then time to find a residency. Residency in the United States is a unique. Most countries don't have residency, or they have a internship for 1 year, but we do 3 years here. In my opinion, it's a little too long, but it is what it is. So you go through 3 years of training. That's when your attendings, your senior doctors basically get to judge you every month. So you go through rotations. You have ICU rotations, OB-GYN rotations, surgery rotations.
Oh, wow.
You may not do any of these things the rest of your life, but you still have to prove these doctors, the group of doctors, have nothing to do with your specialty. You have to prove them you're mental, that you're worth.
So it's like a little bit of everything, the best of both worlds. Like
you experience everything. You experience everything, then you decide what you want to do.
Okay.
You know? So, I really like that. So I learned a lot during that time, and I decided to do internal medicine. Initially, I wanted to be cardiology, but then when I went through cardiology rotation, I decided internal medicine is kind of what I want to do, because as internist, you can treat every organ in the body.
That's true. Yeah.
As a cardiologist, you have highly specialized kind of
the heart, right?
Yeah. Heart only. And it can't even get more specialized where you do interventional radiology or cardiology, where you're only looking at one vessel all the rest of your
really?
Life.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're putting that stents,
specific. Yeah.
Very. Yeah. As interventional cardiologist, you're just doing stents all day, looking at x-rays, you know, filling the holes.
Wow. Well, I guess that's how you really, you know, obviously you're the schooling and the training.
Absolutely.
But then that's how you become like laser focused
in
your field, in your career, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tend to do really good financially, but that wasn't my priority. I wanted to be able to practice all these skill sets I developed as an intern, as a resident, to be able to fix the whole body. It's actually a lot harder. It's easier to be really good at highly specialized skill set versus you are good at everything a little bit.
Right, right.
That is a hard
The whole
task.
Body, the whole...
Absolutely.
Yeah. After your residency, what was... How did you end up here in PA then? Like after... Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. So my ex-wife, I had met during my residency. She had matched. She was behind me in school. So she had matched at one of the residences close by here, and that's how we decided to move into, Central PA.
Oh, so that's how you got here?
Yeah. My first job was in Good Sam.
Oh, Good Sam.
Right here.
Yeah. Right here.
7 years, yeah.
Wow. Good Sam. Okay. Jeez.
I love that hospital, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so first job was right here at Good Sam.
Yeah.
That's crazy. My grandfather on... my mom's side was anesthetist that put people to sleep.
Is that right? Absolutely,
That's how you say anesthetist?
Yeah. Anesthesiologist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anesthesiologist. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But obviously older gentleman since passed, but he was a Good Sam, I think pretty much his whole career,
whole
you know?
Career. Okay, yeah. Awesome, yeah.
So, and then my wife and I had our two kids at Good Sam. They do a nice job, and of course, in Welshman, it's part of the huge conglomerate. So
it is.
So not only, I looked, you know, on your website, you know, Wellspan, UPMC, Pinnacle, St. Luke's.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All around here.
A lot of experience.
A lot of experience, and I loved working in open ICUs. Good Sam was one of those hospitals that at the time I was working did not have a closed ICU. That means that if anybody comes into the hospital, I, as an internist, can go and treat them in ICU level. So it was a great community hospital. I'm sure I haven't been there in a long time. I'm sure it's still doing a great job for community. I was there 7 years, made a lot of friends, learned a lot. As a new doctor, you want to go to community hospital because there's so much opportunity to learn.
Okay.
You
know? Yeah.
When you go in a very specialized tertiary care centers, then you're kind of put in a box and you just stay in that box. Whatever they tell you, that's your floor kind of thing. But Good Sam wasn't like that, so I'm very grateful for my experience there.
Yeah. Let's take a sip break.
Okay.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a garage beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
I love the family. That's your family.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's my son. Oh. 11 months and my daughter, 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So
you got your hands full then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're just starting that journey.
It's a full-time job, man.
It is. It is. It's a lot, but it's definitely rewarding. And, you know, I recommend it if you can find the time, but the time is tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My father told me, you don't know what love is until you have your own kids. And, yeah, he was right.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true. That is so true. So, Dr. R, to pick up, you know, on your website, I had read that your core interest has always been preventative medicine, you know, making lifestyle changes, and then weight loss. Care to talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of that?
Absolutely. So as part of my journey, part of my medical career, I have also worked as outpatient doctor for a shorter time than I worked as a hospitalist. But while I was working in outpatient clinic, I started appreciating how much it matters to have a good primary care physician, whether it's a family doctor or internist or any provider that is taking care of you. What's happening with right now in general American health system is everything is becoming really big in corporate world.
Yes, right? I would agree.
Yeah, they're becoming huge. And when you are a huge conglomerate in a corporation, a lot of times priorities become cost-saving. Cost savings, one way you can do it is seeing more people, seeing them faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of like where you used to have your family doctor make sure that, you know, your mother gave birth to you, you went to his office since your childhood, then he's like following with you all your life, is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
So you because in a corporate world, they're hiring new people, it's changing all the time. So we have lost that kind of touch where like you have a personal doctor, personal connection to a doctor. And that's priceless.
Yeah.
And I miss it because I was the last generation kind of experiencing that, you know, when I came out of residency 15 years ago. So that was kind of going away. Everything was becoming big at that time. So I miss that. I yearned for that. And I wanted to do something that is low volume, meaning that you're not seeing 40 patients a day. You're maybe seeing 10 patients, but you have all the time to talk to them about. And the only way you can do that right now is outside insurance world, because if you are bound by insurance, then you got to take everybody who comes into you because it's all volume based. So you got to see them in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Hello. That's wild.
How are you doing?
Bye-bye. 10 minutes.
That's it.
You can't learn anything about anybody in 10 minutes.
I talk very about little. Their cat about 35 minutes.
There you go. Right. It's that personal connection.
That's it.
And that's what it is. And from a personal experience, you know, I will say I kind of see that, you know, as these bigger conglomerates, these bigger hospitals are buying up or merging or whatever they're doing with the smaller hospitals, you kind of lose that personal touch and the connection. Not that the doctors or the nurses don't care.
Absolutely. Like
they don't have time.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I tell my patients all the time, because when they come to me, they'll be like, look, I've been telling my doctor my weight goes up every year and I just get a pep talk like, you need to work out more, you need to eat more. And I go back and say, hey, I've been working out at the gym, you know, 4 times a week, I gained 10 pounds, you know, what's going on? And I get the same talk again. And I tell them, because I've been in those doctor's shoes for many years, I say, your doctor means well, but they don't have time to talk to you, sit down and find out what's really wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
You know, so,
Because
that requires time. There's no, it's like having great body by working out. You have to earn it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to have great relationship with your patient, with your daughter, with your son, you have to put the time in.
100%.
You can't just give them money and be like, I'll see you in 6 months, you
right,
know?
Right.
In a doctor's case, 6 months prescription, I'll see you. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's
because we're not robots, and you can't just give one part to everybody. Everybody is different. Their situation is different. So that's what we excel at. We give you individualized, highly individualized protocols, whether it's for your food, it's specifically for you, for your for your race, for your sex, for your current, you know, situation, how stressful your job is. All of that stuff makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and to go back just real quick, and then I want to learn more about Lancaster Wellness, and we'll dive into that. My sister, and Emily, if you're listening, I hope I get this right, she is a physician's assistant, I believe, a PA.
Yep.
And she works for a hospital here in the area. Mm-hmm. And she says some days she will have to see, like you were saying, it could be 30 to maybe 60 people come through. And she could be the only, you know, physician's assistant there. Now there's other nurses, but
of course
it's like, wow. And I know she cares, like we were just saying, they care, but it's like, oh, it's a
very high burnout rate.
Yes.
Very high burnout rate for the nurses.
I believe it.
Because the numbers for everybody is going up. Like I always tell my nurse friends, probably the state should step in and like cap the numbers.
Yeah.
But that's not the case right now. So when I graduated, nurses were having 4 patients in a med-surg floors. Now they have 7, 8. You know, twice the load.
Right.
Patients are living longer. They're actually sicker now because they're living longer. They got more problems than before, you know, 2 decades ago.
It's wild.
It is different world.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, my daughters, you know, I tell them, if you want to be a doctor, you know, let's sit down and talk. What I want to come, you know, go do a rotation somewhere, get a feel of it, see if you like it.
And you have daughters too? Mm-hmm. Two, three?
I got 2 beautiful girls. Yeah. Okay. I got a 14-year-old and 10-year-old.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Awesome, Dr. R. Yeah. That's phenomenal. So, and you think maybe one day they might follow in dad's footsteps? Or?
Yeah, my firstborn definitely, she wants to be a heart surgeon. That's like the worst. In terms of stress levels,
yeah,
she's super smart. I think she can do anything she wants to do.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, I don't encourage that. I don't discourage that because you have to follow your passion. Like I said, when I was a little boy, I didn't want to do anything else, and I'm 43 years old now. I don't want to do anything else with all the goods and bad. So you got to do what your heart wants.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah.
Life's too short. Life's too short. Do something you don't want to do.
Absolutely.
So. Let's talk about what is Lancaster Wellness. How did it start?
Absolutely. So during COVID, I was assigned to multiple hospitals in the area without naming specifics. I was assigned to COVID-specific units. So I was working only in COVID. And during that time, I already was kind of feeling burned out because I was like, I'm fixing these people. They go out and eat the bad food, you know, no lifestyle change. They come back and get, you know, another stroke, another heart attack, because we kind of like put a bandage in a hemorrhage, like in a bleeding situation. It's just not going to be a long-term solution. And I was already feeling that way even before COVID, but boom, COVID happened. We went through incredible times, obviously difficult, incredible times. And I had a lot of people die on me just because of COVID, right? Young, old, it was like kind of boom, boom, boom. And that burned me out. So and at that time, I was like, I want to do more preventative medicine. So when COVID died down, I saved up a little bit of money, invested it in a clinic, and bought the equipment. And that's how we started.
Okay. So you were on the COVID floors.
Yes.
Seeing people dying. And it was, I'm assuming, maybe a mix of, like you were saying, bad health, and then they got COVID, which didn't make it situation better. It made it worse.
Absolutely.
And then that was, you know, the cause of death was a mix of getting COVID and not being healthy or having other preconditions, right?
Absolutely. Well, one thing to add to that, from my experience, and national statistics will back that up too, the number one criteria for COVID death wasn't age, it was obesity.
Okay.
So if you are obese, especially if you are morbidly obese, I have had 22-year-old die on me.
Whoa!
You know, this is such a unusual thing. You have to understand, like when you're a hospitalist, people die on you. That's part of the job. That's not a problem, especially if you work in ICU. But those are older people. They have multiple health issues, and this is like, you know, something expected. But when you have younger people with kids shrieking in the background, die on you, that changes you.
Yeah.
That changed me for sure.
Yeah. So. And then, so you want to start your journey and start Lancaster Wellness. And your first location is in Lititz.
We wanted to open it in Lancaster or Lititz. We couldn't afford it at that time. That's why it's called Lancaster Wellness.
Okay.
So, and as I was looking for prime real estate, and we had initially we had bigger ambition. We wanted to have a gym at the site, and like like going to be a little bit
going
different.
All out.
Going all out, yeah.
Yeah.
So Lancaster did not have something we could afford, so we kept the name because LLC was open under that name, and we came to Lebanon. Lebanon is home for me. I've lived here 12 years.
Oh, this is the first location.
This is
And you've lived here 12 years. That's awesome. Yeah. Phenomenal. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
This is our flagship.
I love it. Even better. So Lancaster Wellness is located at Quentin Circle, the shopping mall, right off of Isabel Drive. Some of you may know Bruno's is there and Young's Dry Cleaning.
Yes.
Shout out to them. That's where I go for my dry cleaning, in case anyone's wondering. But so you guys are right there. That's your flagship location.
We are sandwiched between Shinryu Karate and then Young's Cleaning.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Perfect. Yeah. So, you know, looking at your website, you offer a wide range of things. But if you could narrow it down to like your top three services you offer. Yeah.
Yeah. Best way to describe us as a wellness clinic, it's a physical, mental, and 360 wellness, basically. So we specialize in hormonal imbalances, which almost everybody experiences nowadays, insulin resistance, so weight loss, and then medical aesthetics, and also lifestyle changes is our kind of big thing. So if you are one of those, hey, I want to do a holistic approach, I don't want any meds, and you want to come to us, we don't turn you away.
Oh, wow.
We have a program with no medicine, just lifestyle. And we'll give you all the options. We'll tell you what is more successful, and then you can make your own choice.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone's welcome. Yeah. And I imagine, you know, Dr. R, you can't see everybody. So how does it work? Like, I'm sure you have a great staff of people behind you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have everybody in our clinic is certified and trained to be a personal trainer and life coach. So we put them through the school. It's an online program they do, and then they pass the test. And we also utilize third-party companies. Like if I need something specific, say somebody with renal transplant needs specialized diet, so we will outsource that and pay for that to get you specific diet for you.
Wow.
So it's as detailed as it goes.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask a couple questions because they're hot topics, I feel like, in the world, especially here.
Absolutely.
In America is, what's your take on the Ozempic for weight loss? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So Ozempic is a what I call a newer generation of medications for weight loss. We have had weight loss medications, roughly about 40 plus medications. They usually are tablets. We've used things like phentermine, fandometrazine, Fanfan used to make a big headlines before. So Ozempic is the newest. It was initially approved for diabetes management, right? Okay. We just found out that it is also incredible medication for weight loss. And these are medications that are designed for diabetics to have lifelong, okay? And Ozempic molecule itself, which is semaglutide, the active part of it, is what the hormone that your body makes anyway. It's a satiety hormone, basically. It crosses your blood-brain barrier and tells your brain you have had enough to eat.
Okay.
So it doesn't do a whole lot in terms of like burn calories or anything like, say, phentermine would do. So it's a newer generation of medication. When you look at the studies, and there have been plenty of studies now, we have some post-market data, it is incredibly safe. Unless you're doing it on your own, you're dosing it yourself, and you're overdosing yourself, then it can cause problems, serious problems. So what is a hot topic right now is like, whether a patient should be like, you know, just given vials of medication and leave it on their own to decide how much they need.
Yeah.
Because we have had in the clinic patients that have been to other clinics that they used to dose themselves and get in trouble, like small bowel obstructions and some other issues, because as a humans, we want quick solutions.
Yeah.
Faster, the better. Mm-hmm. So they may not have gained 100 pounds in 1 year. They gained that weight over 10, 15 years, but they want to lose it in 6 months. Not safe.
Yeah.
Should not happen. So don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. And I guess, you know, this it's always been weight loss drugs or medicine that you could take, but Ozempic just seems to be the big thing now. And I guess if you take Ozempic with lifestyle changes, it'll work out. But I just feel like once you're on a drug, I shouldn't say drug, but I guess that's what it is.
Medication, really. Yeah.
Medication, you know, once you're on that medication, wouldn't you then be on it for life? Like, once you stop taking it, if you don't change your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how you lose the weight. If I, like, we're in a basement right now. If we had a radiator and I tied you down in a radiator and just gave you water, you would lose 50 pounds in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Quick, right?
Yeah.
But once I said you lose, you don't have lifestyle change, you're going to gain all the weight back. The same thing happens with bariatric surgery. You know, we have a lot of patients who come to us after bariatric surgery. They lost 150 pounds, but after 2-3 years, they gain all of that and some more back. So lifestyle is a critical part of our program. Like, from day one, we go with lifestyle. We teach you. That's why we say, you know, we need at least an hour with you first time you come in, because we need to know what you're about. We know we can make you lose weight, but we want to teach you how to keep it off.
There you go.
And that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's
it's
the key.
It's a lot harder than people think.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. So now with the holiday season, you know, the new year right around the corner, you know, what do you consider like a key to a healthy lifestyle in 2025? Like, what should people be thinking about for this new year? Other than coming into Lancaster Wellness.
Absolutely.
Of course, you know.
There's always a good option to come to Lancaster Wellness. But with New Year's, I think there are a lot of challenges. And because we kind of socialized eating as a normal thing. And every time we meet family, it's kind of like a big feast. And of course, it's great to eat. I eat myself. If you follow me on social media, you'll see me splurge on McDonald's sometimes, some other things. And that's totally fine. But balanced nutrition, you can't beat that. You can't be eating like that the rest of your life. Yeah. Or it will be a very short life. And that goes without saying.
Yeah.
So as the holidays coming, I think it's important to ask if you're eating for nutritional purposes, or are you eating for just because you like to eat.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a saying, you eat to live. You don't live to eat.
That's it. That's it.
You
I
know
like
what I
that.
Mean? Yeah.
I like that.
You know,
I agree
yeah.
with that. So, doctor approved.
Doctor approved. There you go. Doctor R approved. I love it. Perfect. So now, is there on your website, let me back up a little bit. On your website, I saw some success stories and I think even on social media of people that have lost what look like a considerable amount of weight looking at the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to share maybe a story of somebody that has gone through Lancaster Wellness? Yeah.
We have many stories now. If you do follow Lancaster Wellness on Facebook, you can see those are real people. They share their stories. We don't encourage or discourage. I think some people need to share it because it's like, I did this, you know, and nobody can take that away. When you lose 100 pounds, it changes you physically and mentally.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to say it out there. This is what I did, and I was able to do this, and this stays with you. So we have had people lose all the way up to 175 for a very short time. We had a gentleman who lost 175 pounds in about, I want to say, 10 months.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit faster than I like to see it. I like to see 1 pound per kind of month.
Okay.
But this gentleman was doing everything by the book, right? He is working out twice a day, and he's eating right, and he's basically following everything by the book. It just shows you that potential is there. Those, like, when you lose 150 pounds, that's a surgical weight loss.
Yeah.
And you're doing it on medicine without mutilating your body. It is incredible, you know? So, and we've had so many great ladies lose 100 plus pounds. I'm proud of every one of them. And, you know, if you're 300 pounds, now you're 200 pounds. That changes your life. That prolongs your life. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you have more confidence, I imagine.
Absolutely.
You feel better in what you wear. Everything. You have some swagger, you know.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about, you know, our clinic is, and what we do, we don't want you to stop eating. We just want moderation and balanced diet. You have to do a few changes, and we don't want to operate within sandbox environment where you have to, like most clinics sell you shakes and protein bars.
Yeah.
You can't live like that because that's not normal life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a kid in a sandbox. Once you take them out, they're going to do whatever they want.
Right.
So we want you to eat grocery food, but we'll tell you which ones are good for you, specifically for you.
Wow.
For your age.
So
for
fully
your sex,
customizable. For your,
highly individualized. Yeah. And we have a open-end chatting system. It's a HIPAA secure application we download on your phone with a clinic.
Oh, really?
You can reach out to our dietitian anytime you want. Hey, I went to store. Should I eat this? Do I like this? Is this good for me? Boom, you send it and somebody will answer that
for you. Yeah. Wow. Now, you know, with Lancaster Wellness, do you encourage people to cut out, I mean, obviously sodas, but like drinking, you know, because drinking can be very social.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Drinking, a lot of people think it's the calorie in the beer. Yeah, that matters. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of calorie, especially if you drink the whole case, you know.
Yeah.
But ethanol is the pure evil in the drinking. Like, I like drinking myself. As we age, there's something called taurine in our liver that kind of enhances metabolic profile for men and women to burn more fat.
Mm-hmm.
So when you drink, liver does not work as well. So there's no all these amino acids you're supposed to be producing as a normal person, as a healthy person, you are not. So I tell people, if you have a drink, forget about weight loss next 5 days because your liver will just is not up
to
it.
It's not going to work.
So you can see if you drink all the time, then your weight loss, and we see it in the clinic, is not very successful. The beautiful thing with Ozempic is if you have drinking problem, it will dial that down significantly. So it's being studied for alcohol abuse and stuff like that. So any compulsive behavior you have, that you will see some improvement.
Yeah.
Even gambling.
Even gambling. I like that. Yeah, even gambling, doc. That's great. So is there one person you would want to shout out, one mentor in your life that you'd want to shout out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so many. Well, one person who has always encouraged me to stay in school and do well is my father. I have to. And I can always go back to my medical school and blur out like 20 people. But I think if my father, I was kind of mischievous as a young kid.
Were you?
So, yeah. He always made sure that I had the money and the discipline and structure to keep the school in forefront of my whatever I was doing. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
And what's your dad's first name?
His name is Rahmat.
Rahmat?
Yeah.
Rahmat.
It means thank you in our language.
So really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Our names have meanings. Like,
Yeah. That's,
like, my name means kindness.
No. Yeah. Are you serious? Your name means kindness. Yeah. And here you are years later, a doctor. Your parents didn't know that when they picked that name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was spot on for what I do.
That's so, what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Dr. R. So how can our listeners connect with you on social media?
I think the best way to do it, if you type Lancaster Wellness, if you and you can always add Lebanon to that search, we'll pop out. We have a green logo with four leaves, and you can always find us there. Follow us. You can text us there or message us there. I have a number there. It's 717-270-7900. That's our number.
Perfect. Dr. R, before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I mean, I appreciate you inviting us to give us your platform to be able to spread wellness to our community. You know, Lebanon is a home to me. I've been here 12 years. I love Lebanon. I've lived in many big cities before. I hate the traffic, so I'm not going anywhere.
There we go. Perfect. Dr. Shavkat Ruziev, owner of Lancaster Wellness, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Awesome job, Doc.
Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit Triggered22.com now and place your order Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.